Hello, and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynmouth area talking newspaper. Today, it's the privilege of the Red Team to be bringing you the latest news from our region, recorded at our Dawlish studio on Friday, the 22nd of March, 2024, when spring is now official. Following this week's vernal equinox, we now have a few more minutes of light than dark each day. What's not to like? I'm John Townsend, leading our vernal and radiant band of volunteers, full of the joys of spring, five of us this week, bringing you news articles and also events coming over Easter, including performances at the Pavilions Tynmouth and the Shaftesbury Theatre in Dawlish. And so to this week's front pages. Both the Dawlish Gazette and the Tynmouth Post have the same headline: "We don't accept you," gay vicar told. So what's that story all about, Mary?
Well, the headline is "Vicar wants church to be open to all." A vicar has revealed she has been subjected to some homophobic attitudes since moving to South Devon. One such incident even took place in Dawlish during a Remembrance Day service. The Reverend Jessica Ashcroft Townsley, who is married to a woman, says overwhelmingly they have been welcomed since moving to the area, but a handful of incidents have shown a concerning lack of acceptance. Jessica moved to the UK from a home in Baltimore, Maryland, to take up the role as minister with the United Reformed Church in Kingstainton and Dawlish last year. She works in the Teen and Babe Pastorate, which is part of the Southwest Synod of United Reformed Churches. The 42-year-old lives with her wife Donna, who is from Plymouth, and their two children, Weston, 13, and Maddie, 11, in Kingstainton. Maddie is trans and has had no problems at the school she attends. Openly gay, Jessica says she has found some opposition to her ministry as a woman married to a woman. While in Kingstainton, she has not encountered any issues. There have been incidents in Newton Abbot and in Dawlish which have been blatantly homophobic. One happened along the walk to Town Quay, where verbal comments were made towards Jessica and Donna, who were holding hands while they were walking with the children. Another happened in Dawlish, where Jessica was involved with other clergy from the town in the Remembrance Day service. All the ministers played a part in the service, and Jessica's role was to read a prayer. But it was as they were processing out of the church that a man who was a member of the congregation told her, "We don't accept you here." Jessica, who has been minister for 10 years and ordained for 4, said it was unsettling at the time, and there have been some discussions which have been discomforting. "But these have been very few exceptions, and generally we feel safe here, and most people have been lovely. My wife and I do feel safe here, and we see our future here." Both in Kingstainton and Dawlish, our experiences have been overwhelmingly positive. "We have made so much progress as a church to be inclusive, and these are more accepting times, but there is more work to do. This isn't about me necessarily, but it's about what it says about our community and how we welcome LGBTQ people. We are trying to change that at the Strand Church." She said, "If I'm not able to be who I am visibly, how can the generations afterwards feel safe? There is a perception that the church is not welcoming, but the church I serve is accepting and loving. One of my hopes of the church, broadly speaking, is for it to be a safe place for everyone. Come as you are, whoever you are." Jessica added, "What does it say about the church if you can't be open at all? We want to see people as human beings."
Hello, this is Anne, and my first article today is entitled "Six Black Cygnets." Six new black swan cygnets have hatched in Dawlish. The chicks were first spotted on Saturday as they began to hatch. By Sunday, all six had hatched and had been seen on the nest, which was laid next to the brook and not on the more usual nesting site at Tuck's Plot. Parents, Bert, and Kimber have been busy breeding over the last 2 years. This is the latest brood to arrive, and they have already been out on the water. It is understood there is one egg left on the nest, but this is not expected to hatch. Peter Hayes, who pictured the new family, said, "A delightful stroll in the sunshine last Sunday morning was very rewarding. 6 new residents down by the water were enjoying their first steps in their brave new world. Time to pause for thought when life offers a fresh start for someone new. May they all live happily ever after." And there's a delightful picture. And I was told not to get too gooey about the picture, but it's very difficult because they look absolutely lovely, really fluffy, and a very proud-looking mum with them.
Liftoff for station accessibility upgrade. It was liftoff at Dawlish Station when the new footbridge and lifts were officially opened. Completed late last year as part of the major seawall project, the new bridge features lifts for the first time in the station's 178-year history, finally making it fully accessible. At a ceremony involving members of the community, MP Anne-Marie Morris cut a ribbon to mark the occasion. Members of the Network Rail team behind the project and representatives of contractor Bam Nuttall, who built the bridge, joined the proceedings. Made up of 42 precast concrete units, the structure is protected from the elements on the seaward side by a 1-metre-thick shield wall. To make the station even more accessible, Network Rail have also improved the stepping distance between the platforms and trains while reconstructing the seaward platform. Progress is also being made on bringing a waiting room on the seaward platform back into use. It is expected to be opened by Easter. Dawlish resident Diana Frost, who campaigned for the footbridge, said, "The addition of the footbridge with lifts is pivotal for passengers who, like me, have mobility issues. We now have access to both platforms with no need to use the Barrow crossing, making rail travel much easier for locals and visitors alike." GWR station manager for Dawlish, Stephanie Chapman, said, "We're delighted to celebrate the new lifts coming into operation at Dawlish Station, allowing customers to benefit from a fully accessible station for the first time." Dawlish is a very important station for both residents and visitors from all over the UK, and we are delighted to have been able to work with Devon County Council, the Department for Transport and Network Rail to deliver these improvements. We know that working together means we can deliver more and are committed to a cooperative, collaborative approach with the communities we serve. Network Rail's Industry Programme Director, Bogdan Lupu, said, "The new footbridge benefits all passengers, especially those with limited mobility, carrying heavy luggage or with pushchairs. Together with the plans to reopen the waiting room, it is a real boost for the station ahead of the Easter holidays, when Dawlish will see an influx of visitors by rail. It marks another milestone for the vital route between Dawlish and Tynmouth, which since 2019 has seen £165 million invested by the Department for Transport to help it withstand extreme weather and climate change as part of our South West Rail Resilience Programme." Miss Morris said, "Making Dawlish Station fully accessible is just as important as ensuring that the railway line is weather resilient. The new footbridge and lifts are incredibly important developments to ensure as many people can come and visit our amazing coastal line. Perfectly timed for Easter. Today is about giving back to the community in Dawlish, who have been brilliantly patient, as Network Rail have sought to make the track and station resilient for the future." Rail Minister Hugh Merriman said, "It's great to see Dawlish's new footbridge officially opened, making the station fully accessible for the first time. Delivered as part of our £165 million South West Rail Resilience Programme to protect this important stretch of railway from extreme weather, this demonstrates the government's ongoing commitment to invest in infrastructure and future-proof the network and ensure rail is accessible for all."
Now I have another story about birds. This time it's about robins. And the headline is, Robins Give Dawn Her Own Special Chorus. She's the bird woman of Shaldon. Dawn Kiff, 58, had been befriended by a family of red-breasted robins who land on her head and even sing to her. Dawn, who began working for Teignbridge Council as a cleansing operative in the village 9 months ago, was spending time around Smuggler's Tunnel when the robins began to pay her attention. Over the last month, the birds, now named Robbie and Rosie, have been paying her regular visits and seem to know her routine. Dawn, who is now a familiar face in the village, has been sharing her experiences with locals by posting videos and photos on social media. The robins have now become minor celebrities in Shaldon, with residents even volunteering to look after the family while Dawn goes on holiday. It started when she began feeding the birds during her coffee breaks. Dawn said, I first noticed them back in October when the leaves were coming down and I had to clean around the tunnel. There's a lot of wildlife up there, but the robins were sort of following me around. My mum passed away in September, so it came at a really nice time, to be honest. It was only about 6 weeks ago, so I decided to sit down before I went to go and clean the tunnel. I had a coffee and a croissant, and this little bird that I called Rosie sat next to me. I thought she was very friendly, so I ripped off a bit of my croissant and put it down next to me, and it ate it. It just seemed to hang around, so I gave it a little bit more, and it ate that and then flew off. The next day, it was there waiting for me again. By the third day, it was landing on my boot, so I took my phone out to take a picture of it, and it just stood there. By the fourth day, I'd managed to get it onto my hand, and it was a really quick process, and I was shocked. I made it a little routine. Once that happened, I made sure to take my breaks before and after I cleaned the tunnel. It just got friendlier and friendlier until another bird turned up, and it was feeding it. Dawn quickly realised that the bird she had been feeding was actually a male, and the bird he was feeding was his mate, and she has now discovered they have their own family. Dawn said, I started to take pictures of them because they were so tame and I couldn't believe it. Some of the villagers said I should put them on social media. The response I got was massive. I was really surprised. I carry seeds with me now, so I put a bit of seed on my head and it lands on my head, grabs it and flies off to feed the chick. The next thing I know, I was walking and it landed on my head and started singing to me. And there's a delightful picture, another delightful picture, of a robin sitting on her shoulder. And it really is lovely.
Hi, this is Sarah. Family firm takes over venue. A major Teignmouth landmark venue is being taken over by local award-winning cafe operator and environmental champions, the Venus Company. It has acquired the lease of the Captain's Table at the Den on Teignmouth Seafront and plans to open its doors for the first time under the Venus name on Wednesday, 20th of March. The opening will end a 10-year pursuit of the site by the family business, which long ago identified it as being a prime location for one of its thriving cafes. Venus, which runs cafes at Bigbury-on-Sea and Broadsounds in Paignton, aims to be the greenest cafe operator, maximising the use of locally sourced ingredients in its dishes, having no single-use plastics, and using home compostable plates and cups. Venus caters for local people, visitors and holidaymakers, offering drinks, snacks and meals. It will open for the first time this week, and once staff are recruited and trained, the aim is to have last orders at 8 p.m. Director Michael Smith said, we are delighted to be able to open another Venus Cafe and to do so in such a great location within Teignbridge. Our goal is to provide a range of quality, good value produce with a menu similar to Broadsands and to provide customers with a friendly environment where they can relax and enjoy the wonderful coastal views. Director of Captain's Table, Peter Royal, wished Venus well. We are pleased to have selected a local company to pass the baton on for operating this superb site, especially after the time and dedication that we have invested into refurbishing the site to its present standard. Changes in family circumstances mean that it is no longer practical for us to continue as the operator, but we are confident that Venus will deliver an outstanding service to residents and visitors of Teignmouth. Teignbridge Executive Member for Estates and Assets, Councillor David Palethorpe, welcomed Venus to Teignbridge and wished the new venture every success. We are really pleased that Venus has been able to take over the lease and to provide what I am sure will be a wonderful service for residents, visitors and holidaymakers. A thriving cafe such as Venus is good news for Tynmouth economy, providing local jobs, buying local produce and supporting by its actions the council's environmental net zero ambitions. Venus twice won the Queen's Award for Enterprise in Sustainable Development and for providing the best alfresco Mediterranean style dining experience in the UK beach setting, whilst integrating environmental and social care into every business decision.
Brave Piper Bill remembered. Piper Bill Mellon is being remembered for his bravery in D-Day ahead of the 80th anniversary of his heroic actions. His family have launched a 10-day tribute to Bill's efforts in the Second World War by playing the bagpipes daily in their gardens from 8 a.m. Son John and grandson Jacob will be performing in Bill's memory in the run-up to the anniversary. Bill, who was the personal piper to Simon Fraser, 15th Lord Lovat, landed on Sword Beach in Normandy. After the war, Bill made Dawlish his home, and his original bagpipes and his uniform are still in the possession of Dawlish Museum. On D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, kilted Bill landed at Sword Beach and played his pipes to encourage his comrades. Retired mental health nurse John, 69, said, "Lord Lovat's speech to his commandos a few hours before boarding the landing craft taking them to Normandy ended with him telling them that 100 years from now their children's children will look back and say they must have been giants. This is my way of saying thank you to the giant that was my dad and all the many other thousands who gave their all." John will play the pipes at his home in Rampton Knotts before Jacob, 41, does the same thing in Sheringham, Norfolk. They will be performing Road to the Isles and Highland Laddie, tunes that Bill played amid the D-Day carnage. Bill was the only bagpiper in the Allied Armada known as Operation Overlord. Lord Lovat, who led the Special Service Brigade at Sword Beach, later captured Key Target Pegasus Bridge, accompanied by Bill. Bill later recalled, "I started the pipes up and marched up and down." He died in 2010 in Dawlish, aged 87. His actions on D-Day were portrayed in the 1962 film The Longest Day, based on his memoir. With the help of Son John and the Dawlish Royal British Legion, a bronze life-size statue of Piper Bill was unveiled in his memory on June the 8th, 2013, at Colville, Montgomery, near Sword in France. And there's a lovely picture of Bill in his green beret and green jacket with his thumbs up, looking very happy.
Bank delays withdrawal. The last remaining High Street Bank in Tynmouth has delayed its closure date to allow more time for a new banking hub to open. Lloyds Bank has told its customers that the branch in Wellington Street will not now shut on April the 15th as had been planned. Bank bosses have pushed the closure back to July the 18th, by which time it is hoped the proposed hub should be up and running. In a letter to customers, Lloyds said the decision to keep the branch open longer would allow more time to open the hub. Once the hub is open, Lloyds says, one of its community bankers will be operating there one day a week to provide a face-to-face service for customers. As yet, there is no confirmed opening date for the banking hub, nor a location. Tynmouth has proved problematic in finding a suitable building to house the new hub, so the organisation responsible, Cash Access UK, is planning a temporary location until a permanent home can be found. In neighbouring Dawlish, Cash Access UK have said a hub could be opened there as early as this summer. As in Tynmouth, mystery surrounds the location in Dawlish too. Hubs are being introduced in both towns following the closure of all high street banks. Cash Access UK is rolling out hubs across the country to towns in a similar position. One is already open in Brixham, one of 34 across the country, which allow customers to withdraw cash, deposit cash and cheques, make balance inquiries and pay utility bills. Counter service is provided by the post office. Each of the main clearing banks are involved in the scheme, and community bankers will work in rotation with a different bank available each day of the week, usually provided by banks with the most customers in the area, opening Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Cash Access UK says the new hubs will provide the community with easy access to cash and banking services. A spokesman said there are a number of steps involved in opening a hub, and finding the right location is often the most time-consuming part of setting one up. We are working hard to find a suitable location and will keep the community updated with progress.
Reverend Dave joins the Holden team. A new team vicar has joined the Holden Mission community with Sheldon Parish, taking up the position of team vicar of Tynmouth, Eadford, Luton, Ashcombe and Bishop Stainton is Reverend David Wilkie. Reverend Dave was licensed as team vicar and children and families mission enabler last Thursday at St Michael's Church by Jackie Searle, the acting bishop of Exeter. "I'm delighted that David is coming to our mission community as team vicar," said team rector Reverend Carol Green. "We will work across the team, providing ministry in all the churches with a half-time responsibility for overseeing and developing our ministry to young people." Prior to his new proposition, Dave was curate in the parish of St James Church, Taunton, in the Diocese of Bath and Wells. Joining him are his wife Donna and four children, Joy, Edie, Dora and Wilf. "I was born in Scotland, but moved around the UK and even a stint in Tunisia with my family as a child," said Dave. "I've studied astrophysics, youth ministry and theology, and a couple more theology degrees for good luck. As a couple, and then as a family, we've lived in the West Country for many years, and now I'm looking forward to meeting people in my new role here in Teignbridge."
Draconian measure is to be scrapped. A public spaces protection order in Tynmouth, once described as a draconian measure to tackle antisocial behaviour, is set to be scrapped. Police and community partners say they have found a more effective way of dealing with low-level crime after issuing 100 community protection warnings, CPWs, in a six-month trial. In contrast, just 8 warnings have been issued under the Public Spaces Protection Order, PSPO, over 3 years, and no one has been fined. Teignbridge District Council leader Martin Wrigley, Lib Dem, Dawlish North East, said getting rid of the PSPO, which councillors had reluctantly agreed in 2021, was not a bad thing. PSPOs are specific to places, and in Tynmouth it just pushes the problem somewhere else outside the zone. It's not that effective and doesn't do our town any favours by having signs everywhere. It makes it look like the place is troubled, but it's usually only a minority causing the problems. CPWs give people a chance to modify their behaviour without formal sanctions being issued. If they do not change their ways, it can lead to a fine or prosecution. The PSPO in Tynmouth was designed to reduce antisocial behaviour caused by people drinking alcohol. It covers the Den, the Seafront, the Back Beach, the Triangle, Wellington Street and Lower Brook Street. The restrictions prohibit people from shouting, swearing or acting that causes annoyance, harassment, alarm or distress to another person. People who flouted the order could have been given £100 fixed penalty notices, but none were. The order will cease at the end of this month. The South Devon and Dartmoor Community Safety Partnership says the pilot had a significant impact on tackling antisocial behaviour.
A court brief. A mother from Tynmouth has been ordered to pay more than £1,000 for failing to ensure her child attended school. The woman, who cannot be named for legal reasons, did not appear before magistrates in South Devon. The case was brought by Devon County Council's Education Department, which stated the child, who is of compulsory school age, did not attend the school at which they were registered regularly. The case was proved in the mother's absence, and she was fined £660 and ordered to pay a surcharge to fund victim services of £364 and costs of £150, making the total £1,174.
Plans for Green Future receive funding boost. A new Dawlish-based collaboration aiming to promote a greener future is one of 96 projects to receive seed funding from the National Lottery. Sustainable Dawlish and Turn the Tide Tynmouth CIC have been awarded £9,700 from Transition Together seed funding to kickstart plans to lower carbon in the area. Our Green Futures is the joint project by both Dawlish groups, which is aiming to start a community-led change in and around Dawlish. It will provide ideas and support to local groups to address and meet the challenges of climate and ecological emergencies. Scott Williams from Our Green Futures said, "We are so delighted to have had our bid accepted. We know they receive an unprecedented volume of applications. We obviously feel for those groups who were disappointed not to receive funding. So many worthwhile projects were proposed, which highlights how transition groups have so many ideas, energy and connections to be real catalysts for change." Colleague Carolyn Ballard added, "We want to include hard-to-reach, isolated, marginalised people within the community through targeted gatherings, for example, to preschool, single parents, youth groups, elderly and socially excluded members of the community. We hope to have our vision meetings led by an experienced facilitator so participants can be aided, encouraged to envision what they can do to create a green, sustainable, low-carbon future. With the cash, the initiative will deliver 10 meetings to as wide a range of the community to raise awareness and inspire them to take action." Our Green Futures, Dave Hutton, added, "Our aim is to generate locally determined ideas and priorities which help communities and help the planet. We can now support groups with grants of up to £500 over the next year. The Our Green Futures team successfully received a share of the £269,500 on offer." Seed funding coordinator Richard Caldry said, "They were faced with many tough choices. We received nearly £500,000 of worthy grant applications. It shows the richness of ideas, energy and creativity in the transition movement right now. We'll be working hard to secure the resources to offer seed funding again in the future, as we know it's reaching into the heart of communities and unlocking real impact."
We are now joined by Diana, who I have to say is a little distraught at not having the swan story, because she's a great fan of the Dawlish swans. But you'll be pleased to know she's arrived with her binoculars, because she has a story about Dawlish wildlife, I think, something to do with nighttime goings on in the area.
Yes, it is. It's headed Dawlish's Hidden Wildlife Caught on Camera. The hidden wildlife of Dawlish's Langdon Hospital is being captured on camera for patients and public to see. Two special wildlife cameras have been installed in the hospital's grounds, and the first video footage is expected any day. The first still images of a badger, fox and rabbit have just been shared. The hospital has extensive grounds and is a haven for wildlife. The special cameras have been funded by the DPT charity. Patients from the hospital, run by Devon Partnership NHS Trust, and have been involved in setting up the cameras and are already helping another project by planting hedgerow trees. Both projects help to bring patients closer to nature and provide a connection to the outside world. As a secure mental health hospital, many patients do not have the freedom to experience nature in the same way that most of us take for granted. The hedgerow project is also increasing biodiversity on the hospital grounds. Alex Watkins, technical instructor who works with patients in the hedgerow project, said, "We are blessed at Langdon to have some wonderful outdoor space. The patients have seen many different types of wildlife on the site. This includes deer, badger, and many different types of birds, so we are quietly confident we can expect to capture some of these over the course of the seasons. The DPT charity funds projects that go beyond the NHS can pay for.
These projects enhance what can be offered and makes a real difference to patients and staff. The video footage will be shared on the DPT YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/DPTNHS. And there are some four photographs of badgers and wildlife and rabbit, and they're really, really nice photographs.
Hold your breath. Lily May is making waves underwater. A Tynmouth teenager has been selected to captain the Great Britain under-19 team in the Underwater Hockey World Championships in Malaysia this summer. Now Lily May Pettifer has to fund the £3,000 cost of getting there. The youngster's been playing underwater hockey since she was 7 and a pupil at Hazeldown Primary School. My mum found an advert for a sport called Octopush and thought it sounded like my sort of thing, she said. In swimming lessons, I had scared my instructors and the lifeguards with my breath hold, so underwater hockey sounded like the perfect thing for me. Even back then, I knew that it would be an obsession, but I had no idea that it would end up taking me all around the country and now the world. Underwater hockey is a sport in which two teams compete to manoeuvre a puck across the bottom of a swimming pool into the opposing team's goal. The players use hockey sticks or pushers to propel the puck and wear snorkels, masks and fins to move underwater. Sadly for Lily May, underwater hockey is such a niche sport that no funding exists to support Great British athletes. All of the training, equipment, travel and tournament fees have to be met by individuals. Writing on her GoFundMe page, Lily May says, "I love this crazy sport. It is my passion. Being selected to represent Great Britain in the under-19 squad in Malaysia this July is my absolute dream, and being chosen to be the captain really is the perfect finishing touch. I have managed to save just over £1,000 through fundraising activities and from saving my earnings from last summer. If you are able to support me in any way with just a few pounds, I would be extremely grateful. Every pound helps get me closer to my dream." Lily May's career and training has taken her to France and Germany, and she says the trials that took her to Team GB have lasted over 2.5 years. "It has seen me travel to Leeds over 15 times, with over 12 hours of travel for each camp, play in numerous tournaments, and train for hours and hours each week," she added. And there's a lovely photo of Lily underwater in her snorkel, and also one of her by the side of the pool, holding up a Great British flag.
£7 million for more electric car charge points. Devon County Council has been awarded more than £7 million of government funding to support its delivery of thousands of new publicly accessible electric vehicle charging points across the county over the next few years. The capital funding comes from the Department of Transport's Local Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Fund. The fund aims to support the rollout of electric vehicle charging infrastructure across England for drivers without off-street parking, and we've received one of the largest allocations in the country. The delivery of Devon's LEVI scheme is set to begin in 2025 and will expand on an already growing network of on and off-street EV charging points. For two schemes the council have led are due for completion this year and will deliver over 300 charging points sockets across Devon and Torbay. The project, part funded by the European Regional Development Fund and working with DCC's local authority partners, will deliver charging points at over 100 car parks in areas including East Devon, Exeter, Mid Devon, North Devon, Teignbridge, Torbay and West Devon. Councillor Stuart Hughes, Devon County Council's Cabinet Member for Highway Management, said, "The announcement is fantastic news for Devon. The funding will help us to deliver the EV infrastructure that is so badly needed."
Artist's character brought to life in stage adaptation. Award-winning Tynmouth artist, author and illustrator Laura Wall is seeing her creations come to life on stage as a musical featuring Birdwatcher and former goodie Bill Oddie. Her children's book series, Goose, has been adapted as a stage show and will be coming to Tynmouth Pavilions. Tailgate Theatre is touring the UK with the show, which is described as a charming musical adventure. Bill Oddy has recorded the narration for the show, which is based on Laura's characters. Laura, who has a gallery in the Art Quarter in Tynmouth, says she is excited to see the show in her hometown over the Easter weekend, which has proved so popular an extra show has been added. She said, "I never could have dreamed how something I created could be so accurately and beautifully depicted on stage in such a wonderful production. Tailgate have really captured the essence of my characters. They're exactly how I always imagined." Audiences will join Sophie, Hayley Everett, and her newfound friend Goose, Tommy Murray, on a journey filled with laughter, friendship, and plenty of honks. Laura's illustrations have been brought to life live on stage for children under five in this interactive production. Full of audience participation and original songs by Liz Carney Marsh, Goose offers an immersive theatre experience for the family. Artistic director of Tailgate Theatre, James Worthington, emphasised the importance of introducing children to theatre from a young age. He said, "Now more than ever, it is vitally important to introduce children to theatre from a young age. What better way to do that than with these lovable characters created by Laura Wall?" Families will already be familiar with the books, which help the confidence of young people when they enter the space. Children and their grown-ups will be able to play, jump, sing, and interact with the show at their own level. Everything in this musical is designed for the under fives, durable, playable, and fun.
Marina glistening as season approaches. Marina Bowling Club on Sandy Lane, Dawlish, are gearing up for the new season of lawn bowls, which starts on Saturday, April the 20th, writes Deborah Ketley. The maintenance team have been very busy preparing the green and making repairs to the ditches to ensure that we have a great green to bowl on. We have now white edging and there will be seven rinks instead of six. The clubhouse has been upgraded, purchasing some much needed comfortable chairs, and Hazel Joyce has very kindly given her time to cover our existing bench cushions to match the chairs. Kelvin Carter has been instrumental in refurbishing our existing tables in blue to tie in with the colour scheme. Our old chairs and some trestle tables were donated to Torbay Deaf Club, Torquay. These were very gratefully received. They were very pleased to have the furniture. New members are always very welcome to come along and join us on Saturday, the 20th of April 2024, or on Thursday evenings for a roll-up and social get-together. See the website for further information.
Trotters treat charity with hefty donation. Instead of giving Christmas cards each year, the friendly folk of the Teambridge Trotters Running Club give to charity instead, writes Stuart Molson. This year, they were delighted to raise a whopping £1,828 for Sisterwood, a forest school for girls based in Teen Valley. They work with young people who are experiencing anxiety, stress, or depression. Sisterwood teach them healthy ways to support themselves, such as breathwork, meditation, journaling, listening to music, and getting outside. Founding director Fran Lloyd popped in on club night and accepted a check. She said, "Young people are struggling with their mental well-being now like never before. Social media increasing fear about the changing climate, and particularly for young women, creating a desire to attain unrealistic images of physical perfection. A woodland environment is a perfect antidote to this, away from screens and learning practical hands-on skills that help support a healthy mindset. This fantastic donation will help us support more young people who would not typically be able to afford to attend this kind of help." For more information about this fantastic local charity, visit www.sisterwood.org. For details about Teambridge Trotters and club times, visit www.teenbridgetrotters.co.uk. And there's a lovely photo of the Teambridge Trotters committee member, Stuart Molson, handing a cheque to Sisterwood.
The next is a letter to the editor, and it's headed Starcross and Kenton Bypass Proposal. This is quite a long letter, so I have edited a bit. So here goes. It goes, I read with interest the statements about the traffic issues at Starcross. These undoubtedly have been made worse by the introduction of very large SUV-type vehicles, which in turn are able to haul huge caravans. When two of these meet in Starcross at the junction, then it can take some time to sort out the resulting traffic mess, often including unhitching and carrying a caravan to shunt it. It can be entertaining to watch, but deeply frustrating if you want to get on with your trip. Talk of traffic lights and other sticking plaster remedies is really not much help, because more people have cars than ever in the past. There are now as big as small trucks. More and more houses have been built along the A379. The people living in our coastal strip generally work in Exeter. Buses are still helpful, but not fashionable. People want to travel in their cars. Caravan holidays are more popular than ever, and these vehicles are getting bigger. Any traffic measures along the A379 will never fix the issues, but except with some tiny improvements, but nothing meaningful. I might also point out that Teignbridge has £4 million available in unspent and uncommitted Section 106 funds, so they can find nearly £6 million, given that the actual totally new construction needed is small, and given DCC as the Highways Authority also have funding, then this would be affordable. Let us be real here. If the authorities want to do this, they will find a way. So let us hope that the TDC can stop spending on useless petty projects and do something real for Teignbridge citizens and Devon as a whole.
And so to entertainment on offer in the days ahead, from theatre and film to radio. Pavilions Teignmouth has plenty on offer over the next couple of weeks, including the film The Zone of Interest next Thursday the 28th of March at both 2:30 and 7:30. The Commandant of Auschwitz, Rudolf Hess, and his wife Hedwig strive to build a dream life for their family in a house and garden next to the camp. As this is in German with English subtitles, you may wish to contact the box office for audio headphones, and that's on 01626 249 049. On Good Friday, the 29th of March, live theatre comes to the pavilions. The Hound of the Baskervilles is on tour to commemorate the 120th anniversary of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's most popular thriller, and now extended by popular demand. Colin Baker of Doctor Who fame and Terry Molloy, Mike Tucker in The Archers, are joining forces this spring to play the world's most famous detectives, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. The performance is at 7:30. And back to that story of the performance of Goose, that's on Saturday, Easter Saturday, the 30th of March, and there are three performances, one at 11 in the morning, then one in the afternoon, and then three in the afternoon. A family show, Goose, this 45-minute interactive production brings Teignmouth's very own Laura Walls, laugh-out-loud illustrations and lovable characters to life. Goose is an instant favourite with young and old. On Easter Monday, the 1st of April, you can experience Puccini's Madame Butterfly at Pavilions from the Royal Opera House. That's at 2 o'clock. Running time is 2.5 hours plus the interval. Two more films on at the Pavilions next week, or the week after Easter, is a comedy drama at 2:30 and 7:30 on Tuesday the 2nd of April. That's called The Holdovers, Certificate 15. And on Thursday the 4th of April at 2:30 and 7:30, it's the thriller Argyles, Certificate 12A. If you like live drama, you'll be spoilt for choice, as the Teignmouth Players are performing Much Ado About Nothing on the 4th and 6th of April at 7:30 at the Ice Factory. While Pavilions presents The Haunting on Saturday the 6th of April at 7:30. In an ancient, crumbling mansion, two men stumble across a dark and terrifying secret that will change their lives forever. This gripping adaptation of some of Charles Dickens's most haunting works, based on his spine-tingling tales of the unexpected, will have you on the edge of your seat. And don't forget the Shaftesbury Theatre, its special spring drama, an all-age production, will present Side with Rosie, evoking rural Gloucestershire of 100 years ago. Performances are from the 24th to the 27th of April, and tickets are already selling. Box office 01626 863 061. In fact, I'll be talking more about this in the next roundabout in April. A few other local events to tempt you. Tuesday the 26th of March next week, Dawlish Community Transport is going to Tavistock. Usual number to call, 01626 888 8890. And a reminder, the Tynmouth Farmers Market is on next Saturday. That's the Easter Saturday, the 30th of March, from 10 until 2. And Dawlish Transport the following week is on the Tuesday, the 2nd of April, is going to Burneville Nurseries. Also on Tuesday, the 2nd of April, Dawlish History Society meet at 2:30 p.m. at the Manor for a talk by Valerie Jeffrey, who will give a short history of Coughton Holiday Camp. And finally, for details of radio programmes coming up over the next week, stay tuned after our final music, as there'll be a 10-minute taster of interesting listening broadcast from Saturday onwards, recorded for you by the Talking News Federation. So with that hot-off-the-press information, we come to the end of this week's news. As always, we welcome feedback on 07376 147 374. Just leave a message and someone will get back to you. It'll be good to hear from you. We hope you have enjoyed listening to this week's Here and Now, as I close our programme by wishing you a delightful week ahead and a very happy Easter weekend beyond, when the clocks go forward 1 hour into British summertime. As next Friday is Good Friday, there will be no Here and Now next week, but the Yellow Team will be back in the studio to bring you the news on Friday the 5th of April. This week it's been the pleasure of the Red Team to bring to you Here and Now. Our producer is Sarah Williams. Our other readers have been Mary King, Anne Hibbard and Diana Coulson. Also our copiers and dispatchers, along with Mary Reynolds. And me, John Townsend. So from all of us here, it's goodbye until next time, next month.
Goodbye! Goodbye.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Now for a look at some of this coming week's radio highlights, starting with Saturday, March 23rd. And Claudia Winkleman presents her final Radio 2 three-hour music show as she looks back over her 3 years as presenter on a Saturday morning. It's on Radio 2 at 10 o'clock. Drama is Goblin Market, a dramatisation of Christina Rossetti's poem of passion and redemption, published in 1862, featuring music and real-life testimony from sisters whose lives have been caught up in the cycle of addiction. And the drama, Goblin Market, 3 o'clock, Radio 4. Opera on 3 features Cunard's Romeo et Juliet, performed by the New York Metropolitan Opera, with soprano Nadine Sierra and tenor Benjamin Bernheim as the star-crossed lovers. Opera on 3, 6:30, Saturday evening, Radio 3. Drama Chinatown continues on Radio 4 at 9. Bored of being a councillor's wife, Hilda decides to play with fire. And Diana Ross at 80, The Fan Story. Tributes from fans and those who influenced, including singers Lulu, Cliff Richard, Beverly Knighton, Simon Le Bon, and even Olympic medalist Kelly Holmes. Diana Ross at 80, midnight, Radio 2. Sunday, March 24th, and Lauren Laverne's guest on Desert Island Discs this week is scientist and broadcaster Alice Roberts. Radio 4 for Desert Island Discs, 11:15, Sunday morning. Hidden Treasures is a Radio 4 drama series of recently discovered radio plays. Harold Pinter's The Dumb Waiter, starring Bob Hoskins and Roy Kinnear, is in the first of this series. Jeff and Bob are on the job, waiting and listening. Into the silence rattles the dumb waiter, with extraordinary demands for dishes they cannot supply. The dumb waiter is at 3 o'clock, followed by 3:45, a 15-minute feature on the story behind the Hidden Treasures drama series. Sunshine and Laughter, first broadcast in 2021, is Lewis Barff's biography of superstar comedy duo Morecambe and Wise, read by Penelope Keith. Sunshine and Laughter, Radio 4 Extra, 5:30, Sunday afternoon. And more comedy as Martin Jarvis performs P.G. Woodhouse's The Aunt and the Sluggard in front of a live audience. Jeeves Live, 7:30pm, Radio 4. On to programmes then that are broadcast each day at the same time, Monday to Friday, same time, same radio station, every day of the week, Monday to Friday. And New Storytellers is a series of programmes made by the winners of the 2022 Charles Parker Prize for the Best Student Radio Feature. Breathing Lyrical is the first to be broadcast, the story of a young woman with long COVID who turned to the power of an ancient Persian poem to help her breathe. 9:45 each day, Radio 4 in the morning. This week's Composer of the Week is Charles Villiers Stamford, 1852 to 1924, one of the main protagonists in Britain's musical renaissance at the end of the 19th century. Composer of the Week, every day, Radio 3, 12 noon. Rachel Botsman is a trust expert and has spent a decade studying the field. In The Trust Shift, she explores moments across history where the decision to put faith in something shifted the nature of society. Trust Shift, 1:45 each day, Radio 4. Black Butterflies by Priscilla Morris continues as the Book of Bedtime. Zora is heartbroken by the conflagration at the National Library, which destroyed her studio and paintings. 10:45 every night, Radio 4. Also, alternatively, on Radio 3, the essay New Generation Thinkers. The first of this week's series looks at the women and girls thought to be number between 10,000 and 30,000 who from 1922 were incarcerated at the Madeleine Laundries in Ireland. 10:45 every night, the essay New Generation Thinkers, Radio 3. On to Monday, March 25th, then, and some of the highlights for the rest of the week each day. Before radio and television, not many people achieved global fame, but Houdini, the Hungarian-born illusionist and escapologist, did just that, his astonishing feats drawing spellbound crowds right around the world. A dramatisation of his life starring Michael Maloney as Houdini, Radio 4 Extra, 10 a.m, Monday, March 25th. The Radio 4 drama is another in the Hidden Treasures series, Dennis Potter's 1980 drama Traitor. Western journalists visit Moscow to interview Adrian Harris, a former controller in British intelligence who's also a double agent for the Soviets. Starring Denholm Elliott and Ian Ogilvy, 2:15, Radio 4 drama, Traitor, on Radio 4. Followed by the Round Britain quiz at 3, the North of England versus the Midlands, on Radio 4 at 3 o'clock. While analysis looks at why average wages have fallen when the economy is bigger than 25 years ago. The Low Pay Puzzle. Analysis, 8:30pm, Monday evening, Radio 4. Tuesday, March 26th, and No Thoroughfare is Hidden Treasures, an adaptation of an 1867 stage play novel, co-written by Charles Dickens and Wilkie Collins. In 1835, as London's Foundling Hospital, two babies are given the same name with disastrous consequences. No Thoroughfare, Hidden Treasures drama, Radio 4 Extra, at 10 in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Back to Tuesday morning, and the reinvention of Poland looks at Donald Tusk's new Liberal government as he tries to remake Poland as a progressive liberal democracy at the heart of the EU, after overturning the ultra-conservative Law and Justice Party last year. The reinvention of Poland, 11 a.m, Radio 4. The afternoon drama is Holding Back the Tide, the third series of Nick Warburton's comedy about a couple who inherit a house in Yorkshire with a sitting tenant. The drama, Holding Back the Time, is on at 2:15, on Radio 4. And parts 2 and 3 are on Wednesday and Thursday this week at the same time. Back to Tuesday though, and Radio 3 in concert features the Britten Sinfonia in works by Beethoven, Bartok and Tavenna, recorded at the London's Barbican Concert Hall in mid-February. 7:30pm, Radio 3, Well, lastly for Tuesday, In Touch, the latest news for those that are blind or partially sighted, on Radio 4 with Peter White at 8:40 p.m. Wednesday, March 27th, and the Hidden Treasures drama is on the spot. Edgar Wallace's 1930 play about gangster life in Chicago during Prohibition. It's on Radio 4 Extra at either 10 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon. Polly Weston, producer of the Radio 4 series The Patch, presents a disturbing story for our times, which begins when she orders a dehumidifier online to help with her daughter's chest infection, but which takes her into the murky world of Chinese e-commerce. Dehumidified is on Radio 4, Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock. In 1984, while skiing in Austria, Joe Boyland gets lost in a blizzard which claimed the lives of 25 people. The police who interviewed him as he recovered from his ordeal told him, "You shouldn't be here." Matthew Syed examines the concept of lost person behaviour, which has changed the way search and rescue teams operate the world over. It's Sideways, that's the series, with Matthew Syed, Radio 4, 4 p.m. on Wednesday. While Radio 3 in Concert is an eclectic all-American programme featuring George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, Frank Zappa's Bob in Dacron, Sad Jane and George Lewis's Mimex from the Symphony Hall in Birmingham, 7:30, Wednesday night, Radio 3. Thursday, March 28th, on the evening of June the 3rd, 2017, three extremists drove a hired van over London Bridge, mounting the crowded pavement repeatedly before rampaging through Borough Market. Eight innocent people died, including 21-year-old Sara Zelenek, a young woman from Brisbane. Her parents, Julie and Mark, are keeping her memory alive as they navigate the grief of losing their child. Sara's spirit is the new Storytellers series, 9:45, Thursday morning, Radio 4. Claire Balding's Ramblings this week embarks on a hike near Innaleithen in the Scottish Borders. She's joined by Stuart Wilson, who gave up a career in finance in his early 40s to become a tour guide and a travel blogger. Ramblings is on at 3 o'clock on Thursday on Radio 4. It's the final episode of the exceedingly funny Conversations from a Long Marriage, starring Roger Allam and Joanna Lumley. A spider rescue, a wedding and a huge shock. Can Joanna and Roger's marriage survive? 6:30, Radio 4. Radio 3 in Concert again features an all-American programme, this time from the Barbican in London. Simon Rattle and the LSO perform Gershwin's Overture, Let Them Eat Cake, his Piano Concerto and Overture, Strike Up the Band, along with works by Roy Harris and John Adams. The concert, 7:30, Thursday night, Radio 3. And lastly for this week, we're into the Easter long weekend. Good Friday, March 29th. Another play in the Hidden Treasures series to watch out for, What Every Woman Knows by J.M. Barrie. John Shand is proud to make his way into the Houses of Parliament, blissfully unaware of the real power behind his success, his wife. Starring Phyllis Logan and David Heyman, it's on at 10 o'clock in the morning or 3 in the afternoon on Good Friday, Radio 4 Extra. In Room 101 with Paul Merton, comedian Julian Clary tells Paul why he would like to put Wild Swimmers and Love Your Garden with Alan Titchmarsh into Room 101. 11:30, Radio 4. It's the very last edition of Afternoon Concert, a special performance of Johann Sebastian Bach's St John Passion to mark its upcoming 300th anniversary. The concert comes from Bridgewater Hall in Manchester and starts at 2 o'clock on Radio 3. And lastly, for Good Friday, March 29th, actor Judi Dench, who's 90 in December, invites Seb Soans into her home and reveals her favourite pieces of classical music, all of great personal significance. Tune in to Dame Judy's Classical Favourites on Classic FM, Good Friday night, 9 p.m. That's it. Thank you to Angela for the highlights this week. May I wish you a peaceful, safe and enjoyable week of radio listening, and also a happy Easter.
TNF Soundings.